Thank you for joining with us for another episode of Morning Briefings here on the Pipeline Intercession for the President and on our podcast. If you have any dreams that you have about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com. We're so thankful that you all have joined in with us on this prayer journey, and we look forward to standing with you not only today, but in the days ahead. So with that, we'll go ahead and join today's broadcast as we talk about the news and stand on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President. Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to another week. And it's a glorious week to be here, another day, glorious day to be here and standing on the wall, praying for this nation and the Office of the President as we check our emotions at the door and remind ourselves that we've got souls to save. And today I titled it Shouts for Joy, as we focus more so right here in the scripture portion on ourselves of how can we be that joy? How can we be that light in this season? And one of the scriptures the scripture I want to highlight today is in Psalms 30. And I want to read the whole chapter. It's really short because it gives us a great mind frame of what David went through in a season of his life to show how he was able to be thankful and grateful for what the Lord had done for him. And we start off in verse 1, and the title of it in the New American Standard is Thanksgiving for Deliverance from Death. And obviously this can be pretty morbid, but I think it's a great example of the extremes of how to be grateful in this season. And he talks about how it says, I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and you have not let my enemies rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help and you healed me. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. You have kept me alive that I would not go down to the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, you his godly ones, and give thanks to his holy name. And this is the verse I want to highlight here. Verse 5, for his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may last for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. Now, as for me, I said in my prosperity, I will never be moved. O Lord, by your favor, you have made my mountains to stand strong. You hid your face. I was dismayed. Even when God hides his face from us, David's saying, I was dismayed here. He says, to you, O Lord, I called, and to the Lord I made supplications. What profit is there in my blood if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it declare your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, that my soul may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. And it's a great example of in verse 5, for his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may last for a night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. And David here is talking about how, you know, he could have died. He could have for whatever reason, whatever we've done, give thanks to even just the positions that we are in and give a shout and live from that. That's what we're talking about. Living from that place of joy, even in this season, praying, thanking the Lord for providing for our needs in this season. And so the decree here that Chuck points out is, he says, decree that when day breaks, that joy will also break loose within you for this new day and in the season of reordering our day and being prosperous with the time that the Lord has given us as we reorder our day and operating from this place of joy, even amongst this chaos and this tumultuous season that we are in. Okay, now as we operate from this position of joy, let's hold on to that as we dive into the news. And we talked about it yesterday morning about how there's been a prophetic dream that's come out in the that we've had about what's happening within the administration. And I want to point to an article because from Breitbart that really talks about the positions of those in and around the president, of how they're going to operate before the midterms. This is very alarming with everything else that's going on in the world. I want to focus on this first, and we'll get to what's happening with Ukraine, Russia, Iran, and China, et cetera. But I want to focus on this because this is why we're here, to pray for the office of the president. And so the reports are coming out that multiple caucuses are putting plans together to persuade and push this administration to get things done via executive order. And if you listened to our service yesterday, the dream was that during the moments of dementia, the administration was taking advantage of him during those moments and getting him to sign things and do things that he otherwise wouldn't have. And look, even though a lot of the things we disagree with on biblical foundations with Biden, and even in his right mind, but even in his right mind, he wouldn't do some of these far-reaching things that this administration is trying to do. He in his right mind knows that some of these things are ridiculous and not good for the country. Now, some of the things he agrees with that we could disagree with, we do disagree with, especially on the abortion issue and some other issues that he would do in his right mind, that would be very alarming. But when he's in this state of dementia, they're taking advantage and stepping further than he would even in his right mind. And this article from Breitbart points out the fact that the Progressive Caucus are putting together the Congressional Progressive Caucus. Pramila Jayapal from Washington said that over the next few weeks, she would release a list of items they want to see done by executive order so everything that they want to do can get done before the midterms. So if you know who this is the Squad of Five, AOC, Ilhan Omar, Pramila here, Cori Bush, all these other congressional leaders, Bernie Sanders, even though he's in the Senate, are a part of this, pushing for these agenda. What that is, the Green New Deal, anti-abortion, open borders, etc. Getting rid of the Constitution, stuff like that. That's most likely what'll be in it, because they understand that things can't get done through legislation. The Obama administration of the past understood you got to try to do it through the court systems. That's how they're going to try to do it. Now you're seeing this push because of Biden's dementia to try to get things done via the power of the pen. And the claim from another representative, Raul Ruiz from California, talks about how, well, the executive orders were done to end slavery. So this is a good thing. It can be done. It can be doing the right thing. And the Biden's legal staff needs to look at this. And so the Congressional Hispanic Caucus as well is looking to develop a strategy on executive orders. And we're going to start negotiating with the administration very soon. So both the Progressive and Hispanic Caucus, Congressional Caucus, are going to push for this. And they're pushing the legal team, the administration, and the administration's already doing this. They understand this. Thanks to President Bush, President Clinton, President Obama, executive orders, and even President Trump. Executive orders have been the way to try to get things done. And what happens is you have a flip-flop, depending on who's in office, of how and what laws are abided by. So this is very alarming and something we want to pray for. We want to pray for a blanket of protection for President Biden during his moments of dementia so that his staff does not take advantage of him. This is even though we disagree with a lot of the positions he takes, it is wrong on the staff, on his family for doing this. And look, he's in this position. We can talk about the elections and everything, and those are very valid reasonings. And if you've seen the news coming out of the DHS, about how they're going to supposedly attack extremists for talking about COVID and CDC and Fauci and the elections and stuff like that. That's fine. That's another battle. But this is a battle where we're here to pray for the office of the president and the president himself. It's very clear that he has moments of dementia in the public eye. If we're seeing it in the public eye, how worse is it behind closed doors? And how do those who have been with him for a year, 2 years, who come on board, who understand this, we need to pray for his protection when he has these moments. We can't prevent them right now. His mind is deteriorating faster because of the stress and the pressure and adding on top of everything. So during these moments, we need to pray for protections. If you get those inklings, take the time, just pray underneath your breath. If you're at work, wherever you are, pray for him during these moments to be protected from his staff as they try to take advantage of him and as other pressure from Congress and the Senate understand this and try to get things passed via executive order. And so this is how they're going to try to do that as they come up with this plan, especially as we get closer to the midterms, knowing that the Democratic plan is tanking with inflation increasing and the potential risk of this lasting until the end of his first term, going into possible second term, which if you've been listening to Chris Reed and us here, Chris Reed says he's not going to make it in office past his first term. What that means exactly, still not sure. So we want to pray for that moving forward. Okay. Now, the news out of Iran on the Iran nuclear deal has come to a halt for several reasons. And I want to play a clip from this weekend from Israel's UN ambassador that talks about the intricacies and really the dynamic of what's actually going on with what's happening in Ukraine, with what's happening in Iran, and giving a different perspective of how it's kind of intertwined and a perspective for as the deal heats up. Because if you remember last week, we talked about how Iran and Russia were happy about the concessions that the U.S. made in regards to this talk for the Iran nuclear deal. Well, over the past couple days on Friday, really, after we got done, Russia made a plea with the United States. It says, if you want to go forward with this deal, then you need to remove sanctions from us and allow us to be able to do certain things in Ukraine, and basically trying to strong arm things. And the United States said no. So they backed out. Saying, which is actually pretty wise, we don't want to negotiate with Russia anymore. We're going to negotiate with Saudi Arabia. Well, if you've seen what happened in Saudi Arabia this week, it upset the Iranians with the beheadings and mass executions in Saudi Arabia that the Iranians are not happy at. So there's some things that happened over the weekend with Israel, Iran, Saudi Arabia, Russia, Ukraine, and the U.S. is involved in all of this. And so I want to play this clip to help us understand what's happening, number one, and then number two, how we need to pray about this in the coming days as we get closer to this.
Let's bring in Ambassador Danny Dannon. He's Israel's 17th permanent representative to the United Nations. Danny, thank you so much, Mr. Ambassador. Thank you for being with us this morning. Let's take a look at these missile attacks in Iraq coming from Iran. What do you make of this? What do you suspect is Iran's motivation?
Well, as we speak, the Iranians took responsibility publicly for the attack. The Iranian Revolutionary Guard.
So, pause it here for a second. We're talking with Iran to get back into the Iran nuclear deal. While this is going on, they attack U.S. consulate in Iraq during all this negotiation. They want a peace deal, but then they're going to attack us. Now, they say because it's because of what Israel has done, which is just could possibly be true because they're saying, well, Israel attacked two Iranian National Guards, and so we're going to attack them. And they're saying that the attack in Iran is a response to that. Very interesting to see there. But understand this, we're in negotiations with them. Like, and they're going to do this. And so I want to continue playing the clip. I'm going to let it play through because it's going to keep pausing and messing up. But let me add it here and then we'll listen. It's about 2 minutes long. The clip's about 5 minutes long, but I'm going to listen to 2 minutes of it.
Responsibility for the attack against a U.S. Consulate. And it only showed us that the Iranian, while they are negotiating with the U.S. and other democracies,
that's key. They're still negotiating.
Attacking U.S. targets. I think it should be a sign for the administration in Washington to cease the negotiation. I don't understand why they are wanting to sign such a bad deal with the Iranians while they are attacking U.S. targets and Israeli targets.
What do you think the Iranians hope to accomplish?
Listen to what he says next.
By this missile strike.
Very interesting. I
mean, they want to reignite the talks over the nuclear talks over Iran. Was it in fact? Well, I've read various reports, by the way, Mr. Ambassador, that it was actually in response to an Israeli attack in Syria on a weapons depot. What are they hoping to accomplish by this act of aggression?
Well, we cannot tell exactly what their motives, but we know that they are very happy with the draft of the agreement they achieved in Vienna.
Correct.
And today the Russians playing last-minute games with the deal. I think they are trying to push the U.S. and the European countries to sign that deal. And I want to remind you and the audience, it is a horrible agreement. The 2015 agreement was bad. The new
Listen
one
to this.
Is even worse. You know, in 3 years, they will have capabilities to build a nuclear bomb, to enrich uranium, no inspections, ballistic missile tests. That's why they are eager to sign the deal, to lift sanctions. And by the way, the same Revolutionary Guard that attacked the U.S. a few hours ago, he should be lifted from sanction if the U.S. would sign this agreement. So can you imagine you actually lifting sanctions on someone who is targeting you? I cannot understand what is the reasoning behind the wish of the new administration to run to this deal.
So that's huge, because if you're saying we're going to get back in a deal with you and you're already attacking us, they're already attacking you and the deal hasn't even been signed. There's been a pause on negotiations because of the demands made from Russia and what's going on in Ukraine. And so we're seeing now who Iran, which it's not really a surprise, who Iran really is. And the U.S. has come out and said, look, we're not going to negotiate with Russia on these via making the deal with Ukraine a part of this. And so we want to pray for this administration and all this. And look, I think this is the Lord intervening, saying, no, I'm not going to go forward with this, because in 3 years, the deal, quote unquote, ends and Iran can do exactly what it's doing right now without the threat of inspections. This is what was horrible with it when Obama presented in 2015. It was only a 10-year deal. It didn't stop them because it also exempts military bases that aren't going to be inspected. So they could still be doing it behind closed doors, and that's what they were doing. And if you showed up, they could still move it. You had to give them 90 days notice, et cetera, and stuff like that. So horrible in and of itself. So we want to intercede for the Biden administration to have the wisdom and revelation of the Lord, really ultimately the fear of the Lord. Because right now they're not showing it on the negotiations with Iran, on the Iran nuclear deal. And all these conflicts could be Jehovah sneaky in a way, causing the negotiations to falter and stall. And hopefully they can see that, look, Iran needs to pull back. Even the Iran Revolutionary Guard needs to pull back. And if they're continuing to allow these attacks, quote unquote, because Israel did something, it could very well possibly be true. If Israel's silent, which they are, tends to sometimes be true. This is very likely to be the cause. And so Chuck, remember, I played the clip last week. Chuck talked about with this stuff with Iran, stuff with Russia and U.S., is watch Israel. Watch Israel, he said. He warned about that. So we're seeing what's happening in Israel. So we want to pray for the Biden administration to stand with Israel in these negotiations, and good on them for not wanting to negotiate with Russia at the same about Ukraine at the same time as they're negotiating on the Iran nuclear. So there is some benefit of all that. Now we get into the fact of what's going on with Russia and Ukraine over the weekend. Supposedly, There were, I'm just going to briefly summarize this and then talk about what we need to pray about. Because there's two key points we need to pray about, because there's something happening today and something that could happen the next couple of days. Is over the weekend, there was rumors, complete rumors, seem to be unverified, that Ukraine and Russia are about to come to a ceasefire agreement and possibly end the war. That could still very well be true. But what has also come out is during these negotiations, just like Iran, Russia has now started bombing humanitarian routes near the northwestern corner, near Poland, Lviv area, where a military base training facility has been bombed. 35 people have actually died. And it's a route for NATO to bring in weapons into Ukraine to help supply Ukraine for their defense against Russia. So we're seeing Russia show aggression just like Iran. And with these talks going on about Ukraine, and Ukraine said some things that is very, very interesting. They were basically saying, they're like, look, we're not giving up any ground. There's a tweet from, I'm trying to remember exactly who the guy's name, a presidential advisor, Mykola Podolyak, who said that at the negotiations, the Russian Federation is not putting ultimatums because they're losing ground. But carefully listen to Ukraine's proposals. Ultimately, he said, Ukraine will not give up any of the positions that they're standing for at the negotiating table. He said, our demands are the end of the war and withdrawal of Russian Federation troops. And I see the understanding, and there is a dialogue. Basically, okay, Ukraine, because they've shown force and ability to defend itself on the ground, is now having leverage at the negotiating table, which is a good thing for Ukraine. And so we're seeing this in Russia bombing the trade routes or the supply routes for Ukraine from NATO and near Poland is very alarming. Will they then start bombing Poland and the military bases in Poland where the supplies are coming from and being shipped to? That would be alarming, because that would force NATO to enact Article 5, which is the fact that NATO countries, if enacted by Poland, would be forced to enter into an actual war with Russia to defend Ukraine, and more so NATO. So Russia's playing this very close. They're starting to step over the bounds. And also at the same time, again, this is being reported. It's unverified. True is that Russia is supposedly asking China for military equipment to try to prop up its problems in Ukraine. And again, this was only really verified from Washington Post and the Financial Times, and then the Daily Mail started just republishing what those two organizations posted. And this is believed to be an attempt to preempt the negotiations that National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan is supposedly going to be having negotiations with, talks with China in Rome today. And this is where this is important. Jake Sullivan's involvement has been disastrous in anything that he's touched. If anything could go wrong, can go wrong if this man is involved, and now he's getting involved with China. And these news articles from the Financial Times and Washington Post try to make it seem like the U.S. knows what's going on with Russia and China. We know you're trying to negotiate to help. We're gonna stop this. We're gonna preempt this. And so they're meeting today. He will be meeting today in Rome, Jake Sullivan, with China about trying to quote unquote persuade China not to give arms to Russia. And it's going to be spun if anything happens and is being happened. It's trying to spin the Biden administration as having a grip on the situation, because they need to try to show politically a grip on the situation to prevent, you know, quote unquote World War III, which that's still up for debate if that were to possibly happen. And that's what we're praying against. as well. And look, they're making steps in the right thing. How they're going about it is very concerning, to say the least. So we want to pray for Jake Sullivan to have wisdom and revelation in the meeting between China today, in a few hours, so that things don't escalate beyond repair. China could possibly be liking this. There is a report from the New York Times that came out this weekend from an advisor to the Chinese government that basically said Russia needs to quit this war. And what we're going to start seeing is in the public eye, and if you followed Gloria Zion for a while, Chuck always says, keep an eye on China, is you're going to start seeing China repositioning for world powers leaders. Is it US? Is it China? Is it Russia? Is it Iran? Who is it? What's going on? And so right now, this is a testing measure, to say the least, for the US and China involved in this. China could be allowing things to happen. They could go along with Biden's quote unquote plan, because it's also in the interest of China to not go into World War III. Because if you've seen the reports that if Russia and Ukraine, and especially in the spring, are still caught up in this war, and supply chains are cut off, you could potentially see upwards of 40% of the wheat and grain market dry up if they're not able to, number one, harvest the wheat and grain in Ukraine and Russia and ship it out of Ukraine, because that's where a vast majority of the world's supply of wheat grain comes from, which could cause a lot of concern and problems throughout the world for those commodities. And China doesn't want to see that. They're very heavily invested in making sure supply routes are opened up for the U.S. market and the European market. So with these news reports coming out, it's hard to say what is true and it's hard to say what is not true. What we do know is that negotiations are still happening with Russia, Ukraine. China and the U.S. are negotiating about what is happening. And China could very well, this is my complete opinion, could very well be playing this close to the vest, understanding what Russia really wants. If they're really asking for weapons, that's still yet to be determined. It's also it'd be key to see if this is true. If Russia is really in dire need of weapons, could very well possibly be true. There is a report that came out from the Wall Street Journal last week that Russia has lost 3 generals in the battle with Ukraine because Ukraine has killed them, which is not being vastly reported, which kind of should be. And so we want to pray for the wisdom of this Biden administration to have the fear of the Lord and listen to the Holy Spirit when dealing with the Russia and China on the Ukraine issue, because this is, for the short term and long term, very key to what standards the world lives by. Do we live by Chinese communistic world standards, or do we live by biblical world standards? Freedom world standards. And so, is America perfect? No. We have our issues, just like Ukraine has their issues, Russia has their issues, Israel has its issues, every nation has its issues. But we want to pray for, especially here in America, for our administration, for these leaders to have wisdom and the fear of the Lord, and to use that wisdom and take it to be revelatory on how to lead this nation. I'm not going to we're not going to pray for the demise of our leaders, even though they very well might be doing that, and are in most cases, unfortunately. Is we want to pray for them to start having the fear of the Lord and wisdom. And for those who are in the administration, even if now they're going to go along and with these policies because they think they're true, they think they will work, that when they don't work, that they will have an awakening from the Holy Spirit and a repentant heart to turn from their wicked ways, as we should as well. Repent from our iniquities and our sins, and turn from our wicked ways, and turn towards the Lord and towards the heart of the Father, so that we can take our mourning and shout, make it a shout for joy in this day and in the days ahead, as we turn towards the heart of the Father. for this nation and for souls in this nation and around the world as we continue to be a light of the gospel of the kingdom for the nation. So with that, I bless each and every one of you. Let's continue to pray for this administration now and in the days ahead as things turn in all different types of directions and as the stress and potential rumors of wars heats up. Let's pray for them to have wisdom to do what the Lord would have them do in this season and have the wisdom to walk out the destiny and the calling that the Lord has given them. Because despite if they stand for things that are against it, they're still a position of leadership on these people. They're put in these positions and they have the responsibility to, just as you and I do, to walk out the destiny and the purpose that the Lord has given them, as we are as well. So blessings, and I will see you guys later. Don't forget, we have noon prayer today. We'll be online and tomorrow in Shreveport at Christian Center Shreveport. So blessings, I'll see you guys later. Have a good one.